Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Folks, as we all know, NFL season, college football season is right around the corner. And of course, now with it becoming more legal in the States, up in Canada where I am, mainly Ontario with iGaming, you want to win some money. I did fantasy football a few weeks ago, but now it's about the money winning aspect of the betting on football and all that stuff. And who better than TikTok sensation, just overall social media star, Mikey Over, to kind of help us get you guys a little more coin in your pocket this football season. So how are we doing today?
Good, super generous intro. Don't know about social media star or any of that stuff, but I definitely do bet on sports. So that part is true.
Basically, if you're a gambling degenerate, this is the episode for you, essentially.
Yeah, definitely tap in if you're a gambling degenerate guy. This is the one for you.
Yes. Oh, but like I said, we're 3 weeks away from the season starting. But then when it comes to betting, I feel like I don't know where you come from for it, but for me, you always have to look at it from a way of like, what's going to win you the best money, even though sometimes you want to take just those favorites. But I have a golden rule, and I want to see where you come with it.
Let's hear it.
Go with your gut.
Love it.
Or if you get a sign. Like I was last year, I don't know if you remember this game, but it was Colts versus Bills. Okay. And I was walking my dog, and for some reason I saw a dude in a Darius Leonard jersey, and I just said to myself, I was like, Colts plus seven. What happened? That was the game where Jonathan Taylor ran wild and they killed them.
Dude, it's all about the little stuff. You know, I think a lot of sports betting, I think, you know, there's too many people that complicate it. I think it's way more simple. And I think it's actually, it's more fun if you're having fun than if you're taking it too seriously. And I think like that kind of stuff, it works. You know, like you're walking your dog. Number one, the Colts were dogs. Yep. And then you see Darius Leonard jersey. You're like, I mean, it's the Colts day. So, I mean, yeah, no, I love that kind of stuff. Also, if anyone's watching, you know, the video version, not just the audio, that was excellent graphic introduction as you said that. Just appreciated that.
I have all the graphics loaded up. I have everything going there. I try to keep it professional here.
Let's go.
But, yeah, that's the thing, too. I say go with your gut. And it's one thing, too, where I'm like, I really got to talk to this guy. Was you did a podcast episode where you basically said, I'm not here to basically take money from people. I'm not like, because I've seen discords where people are trying to charge like $50 a month. Yeah. I've seen people charge like, there was one girl I saw that was trying to get like $25 a day out of people. I'm just like, at the end of the day, look, even though everyone's a different creator in that sense, whether it be TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, podcasting, etc.
100%.
We're all here to help each other win money. We're all here to basically beat the book.
100%.
Rob the book.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is like I hate the whole handicapping bit. My whole thing is, you know, I tell you what I'm taking today. And you can do whatever you want to do with that. You can take the same one, you can take a couple legs, you can change it up, you can do a full fade. But I would never charge someone for my picks because, you know, even the best sports bettors 50%, you know, like that's something that's very well known that even the best sports bettors go 50%. So I'd rather have fun with it and build a community around just riding with the guys or gals, whatever it is, and, you know, having a good time with it. But yeah, no, I would never sell my picks. I think it's way more fun putting everything out there. You get the guys that, you know, talk all that smack and tell you it's bad. And then you got the guys that are like, I'm here every day of the week. Like, let's ride till the wheels fall off. It's great. I'm loving every second of it.
Exactly. Like they're there for you when you go 3-0 on a parlay, but then at the same time too, they're chirping you shit when you're going over three.
So and that's expected. You know, it's an expected give and take. You know, if I say it all the time. I get a lot of people that are like, why do you, you know, what do you do when, you know, people start DMing you hate or when people are responding with hate? It's like, you know, I put myself in a position to receive that because, you know, I'm not asking people to take what I'm taking, but I'm putting what I'm taking out there. So you know, if you're going to put yourself out there, you got to expect a little bit of backlash. So, you know, I think there's a give and take in the game.
Exactly. You have to be able to dish it out. Like for example, like when I see a guy, and he's actually been on the show before, with Trent, when, yeah, look, sometimes his picks don't go according to plan, but at the same time, too, if when you are at the highest of highs, you have to celebrate. But when you're at the lowest of lows and you're eating crow, look, you know people are going to make fun of you. But at the same time, too, it's just tough, yeah. It's another day. Cold streaks end. It's always better to end a cold.
You're due. That's what I say all the time. I'm due now. Like, I'm due. Whenever I start getting a little bit cold, I'm due. And, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. When you hit – like you, everyone and their mother deserves to go nuts. Like when you hit a parlay, like you deserve to talk all the smack you want. You're on top of the mountain. Like you did your research, you picked the right games. So, you know, it's a give and take. It's a give and take. And, you know, you got to expect it both ways.
Yeah. And then the other thing I just wanted to bring up quickly was, and I say this to everyone and I say this to myself, because people say like to me, oh, how much do you bet and stuff like that? I always say this, not what you can afford, but what you are okay with losing. Now, I know you do the degenerate sketches about rent and everything and the landlord calling you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, I always like to preach that just because I've actually gotten before from people like, if you need help, let me know. And I'm like, I'm okay. Like, I'm not out here. I think it's people think I'm betting like $100 a week or whatever, when in reality, or $100 a parlay. But no, that's my whole thing. I just want to see where you feel about that. You bet what you can afford to lose or what you're okay losing. So if you lose it, you're not like screaming and it's not going to financially hurt you.
No, 100%. I mean, I tweeted about this a couple weeks ago, and it's something that I very strongly believe in. Anytime that anyone asks me how much I'd be putting on a bet, how much you put on a bet, I always tell everyone, whatever makes it fun for you, you know, whatever makes you feel like you got a little bit of action and it makes you watch the game a little bit more intensely and it's making you having fun. If that means 10 cents, if that means $1, if that means $5, if that means $10, do whatever you want to do. You know, like I think sports betting is supposed to be fun. I'm very much am a part of the opinion that sports betting should be fun. I think way too many people take it way too seriously. And I think the best moments that I've had of sports betting is when you're with your friends, when you're sweating a game, when you're just having fun with it, not when, you know, you feel like your bills are on the line and you're going to go hungry the next week. So yeah, in terms of like things to bet, I always tell people all the time, whatever makes you feel like you're having fun, whatever makes you feel like you're engaged, whatever makes you feel like you're a part of the community. And that can be as small as 10 cents and it can be as big as, you know, whatever you want. But like you said, as long as you're comfortable losing that, then that's your prerogative.
Exactly. Because I actually remember that tweet because I literally quote tweeted it saying that you can't see it because it's really glared, but I basically said that you nailed it on the head and that you sent me a like. So as soon as you said that, I was just like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember this like spot on. And like you said, yeah. Whatever's fun, whatever's not going to make you starve for a week, you want basically to do it to where it's not going to kill you if you lose. Because you have to go into that mentality. Because every time you go in confident, it doesn't go your way. Sometimes it's always that.
Yeah. And also it's gambling. Like, I think a lot of people forget that sports betting is gambling. Even though it's sports and, you know, you grew up watching sports and you think you really know sports, it's gambling at the end of the day. You know, like the books put you in a position to lose. You know, that's their whole game is trying to get you to lose and you're trying to beat the book. So, I mean, I think a lot of people forget that it is gambling and that it's not just like, oh, I know sports really well, so I'm going to be really good at this. And then they come in, because I've had friends that do that where they're like, dude, I've been watching football my entire life, but I can't hit a bet to save my life. It's like, it's two totally different things, gambling and having knowledge of the sport growing up. So, I mean, I totally agree.
It's like when you see a spread and you're like, say if it's like a minus 14 spread and you're like, oh, for sure, they're going to cover that. They're going to kill them. But at the same time, too, you got to look at it. Like, I don't know about that. Cause like the last 2 years, 2020, Kansas City was 7-9 against the spread. That was the year that they were dominant and went to the Super Bowl and lost, but still 7-9 against the spread. And last year, one of the better spread teams, the Detroit Lions. So it's like the expression, any given Sunday.
Yeah, the Lions covered a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also like, this is my whole thing too, like that I talk about all the time. You're betting on human beings, right? Yeah. I think a lot of people that is lost on them were like, you know, these athletes aren't machines. And when you're betting on someone, I think it's lost on a lot of people that you need to realize how your week goes. I think out of 7 days of the week, I probably have 3 really good days where I wake up and go, oh, I'm in no pain. Like I'm in a good mood. Everything's going right. Like I ate when I needed to eat. My stomach doesn't hurt. My arm doesn't hurt. Probably 3 out of the 7. I think that's average for a human being. And when you're betting on these guys, you don't know what's happening, right? I mean, you could have the Chiefs minus 14.5 Saturday night, him and his girlfriend getting a huge blowout over his brother dancing on the field, you know, and now he's going into the game with a cracked mindset, and he's going to blow that 14 and a half for you, but you didn't know that going into it. So, you know, I think that's lost on a lot of people too, that you're betting on a human being. So I think that's why also, I think it's why I preach that it should be fun, because like you're betting on another dude.
100%. 100%. That's like you said, it's like at the end of the day too, when people bitch about fantasy football and then like they say, oh, I don't care about your roster. Because at the end of the day, yeah, they don't care that, oh, someone took me in the first round of pick five and I only had 100 rushing yards today and I didn't get any touchdowns. Like, why does what I did on the field, it doesn't have to affect you in your personal life. It doesn't have to be there. Because at the end of the day, like we said, it's a game. It's human beings. Don't freak out.
Yeah, and they're trying to feed their families. You know, they're not necessarily worried about you getting 10 points in your fantasy league. They're worried about like feeding their families and taking care of their kids. So, I mean, yeah, it's comical, but yeah, it's you know, it's tough though, because people expect a lot when they get into gambling and of these players, because you put a lot of faith in them.
Exactly. And then I'm going to come back with the cool graphics, because look, like we said, we're here for NFL season. So what teams are you looking on already that you look at and you think, I'm going to bet them? Or if there's I'll be honest with you, the second that they released the schedule in the week one spreads, there was one that just jumped out to me, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. But like when you look at teams right now, you're like, I like them. I think like if I look at them, they can increase my bankroll a lot, or my ROI is going to skyrocket.
Dude, so I've been getting this question so often, and I really started looking into NFL futures and the teams about 2 weeks ago, because I don't like doing in the beginning of the summer because too much can happen, whatever.
Yeah.
My dark horse coming into this year is going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. Their Super Bowl odds are absurdly high for a team that I think is absurdly well-rounded. And as we saw last year, without their best wide receiver and with some injury problems, still went pretty deep in the playoffs. And I mean, they're super undervalued this year, I think. I really love the Raiders this year. You know, as a Jets fan, I did sprinkle on us to win the bowl. You know, I'll say it here. I did it. It's not going to happen. But if it does happen, that'd be sick. But I'm going to be betting on the Jets a lot because that's my team. You know, I can't not. But I really love the Raiders this year. I think the Bengals have another great year, honestly, coming back after that Super Bowl. I think the one team that I'd say I'm not going to bet on a lot is going to be the Green Bay Packers. I was looking at the Super Bowl odds today just to refresh myself. I think they're way too high on that list in terms of their odds. There's no value in the Packers for me. I don't think they're going to be that great this year. I've never had a lot of love for Aaron Rodgers and losing Davante Adams. I think that's going to have way more of an impact than people might think on Aaron Rodgers.
I think the same thing too, and also another team on there is, even though they went to the NFC Championship, excuse me, it was San Francisco. I have just, this is by a FanDuel, San Francisco at plus 1600. I just, look, they're a well-rounded team, but I don't trust the kid yet. Lance has to go out there and show, hey, you're capable of doing this, because they just jumped Jimmy, who literally Super Bowl 2 years ago, NFC Championship this year. But if I had to look at a team from the Super Bowl odds that I like, if I had to play Super Bowl future right now, it's the Ravens at plus 2000.
You like the Ravens. I don't know about the Ravens.
I don't know about Lamar. I just think that how well-rounded they were, and they still were competitive last year with all their injuries. And also, too, when I'm looking at a bet for value, but if it's a bet for actual on-field performance, like you said, Vegas is up there, or even Denver at plus 1,700 as well. Like, we'll see. I was always bullish on Denver when it was Drew Locke, but now with Russ, we'll wait and see, but it's just always too hard to tell. That's why, like, if I'm doing futures, I'd rather do like player awards, team total, wins and overs. New York Giants minus 7.5, under 7.5. Excuse me.
Let's go.
Yeah, I just don't. I can't get behind Daniel Jones. Or even to make the playoff bets. Like, I don't know. Let's see. Arizona Cardinals at plus 118. Like, that's not a bad bet to make, just because you don't know what the
tough NFC division is going
to. It's a tough division, but the whole conference as a whole, they can still sneak in. I'm like. And then, yeah, there's not a lot of other makes. Like, it's, you're more likely to make money on a team betting on a team to suck.
No, 100%. I mean, I don't disagree with the Ravens take. I just feel as though I actually really like Lamar. I think he gets a lot of hate for, you know, his still what people like to call his inability to throw the ball. I don't really think he has an inability to throw the ball. But what I will say is, I don't think they replaced Hollywood Brown very well. I don't think Hollywood Brown was all that great. I think he's going to be a fucking stud on the Cardinals. I think he's going to be unbelievable on the Cardinals. I think he fits in that offense perfectly, especially when DeAndre Hopkins comes back and decides to take the needle out of his butt. But I'm like, I agree with the Ravens. I think they're a great team. But once again, they have really not given Lamar anybody to throw to, which is honestly shocking. They really have not given anyone to throw to other than, you know, Mark Andrews is going to be sick again. But a team that I did want to talk about that I think is going to be very underrated as well, that I think actually might be getting a little bit too overhyped right now, is going to be the Detroit Lions. I think they're going to make a little bit of noise, man. I think they're going to make a little bit of noise to the point where people are going to be going, what's going on in Detroit?
I just want to look up their win total right now, because I know that was like one of the bigger handles with like Caesars and MGM. They're over 6.5 right now.
That feels free, dude.
If it feels almost good. I feel like, look, they were a great spread team last year. I'm not going to come out here and say making the playoffs. No, I can see.
No.
They're in a season where if all goes right, 7-10, I think, is there. But I think if I had to look realistic, I could say probably maybe 5-12.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm saying making noise, let's not forget it's the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions making noise is them winning 5 games. I mean, that's some noise. So I think they make some noise this year, too. I also, one team that I'm going to bet on is the Chiefs. I actually think they did a fantastic job of replacing Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek Hill is fantastic, don't get me wrong. But I think giving Patrick Mahomes, a guy like Marcus Valdez-Scantling, and a couple other weapons around him, like Mecole Hardman staying around, I think they're going to be pretty dangerous once again. And I think a lot of people are going to look at that Chiefs team, and a lot of casual bettors are going to be looking at Chiefs spreads going, well, they don't have Tyreek Hill, so there's no way they cover, you know, -7.5. Or when they're playing a great team, there's no way the Chiefs cover plus, you know, let's say 6.5 when they're playing a really good team. They don't have Tyreek Hill. I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. I really don't.
I like it. I've always said for Kansas City, so obviously you're a Jets fan, and for years you've always heard the Tom Brady stuff. I'll also admit right here, not to, I'm New England. and before you say anything, no, I'm not from the area, and I know I'm actually from Toronto.
Let's go beat the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and they
love Drake. Big Drake fan. So
nice. Good to hear. but my thing with Tom is every year, you know, when you always heard it's not his year, he's going to decline. What's he going to do? He doesn't have the weapons. He just fucks around and gets to the Super Bowl.
It's classic.
I can see a similar scenario with Mahomes, where everyone's looking at all the other teams in the West, where they're looking at Vegas, they're looking at LA, they're looking at Denver. And then all along, Patrick Mahomes can just come along and be like, oh, hey, I'm Patrick Mahomes. My one hot take for them is, though, because of the receivers they have now, I'm kind of bullish on Travis Kelce from a fantasy standpoint, just because I feel he's going to get double teamed. He's going to be double teamed a little bit more. And the bet that I like, that I want to get into, that I've been on since May, Week 1, Chiefs Cardinals over 53.5 points.
That's free. I love that you're bringing me on here. First bet of the year isn't over. I mean, that is, it's almost horny. I'm going to be honest with you. That's electric. No, I mean, I love that. I think too, in a game like that, Kyler Murray has something to prove, and Kyler Murray having something to prove means you need to pick apart a defense, buddy, because the Cardinals put a clause in your contract that said you can't play Call of Duty and you need to look at the playbook. So I think Kyler Murray has to come out and have a really great year. I love that over, by the way. That's a fantastic over. And you know what? I'm going to say it too. I think it happens a lot in the NFL. I think it also happens a lot in the NBA. When you get rid of a guy that demands a lot of attention from his own offense, it diversifies what you can do going forward. I think the Chiefs now have a way more diverse offense than when they had Tyreek Hill. That might be a really hot take. That might be a sword that I die on. But looking at the Chiefs now, I think that offense is more dynamic without him than with him, because now Pat Mahomes can really do whatever he wants. I feel like before it was two options. If you didn't throw to one of those two and some guy dropped it or you overthrow him, it was, why didn't you throw the Tyreek Hill? Why didn't you throw Travis Kelce? And now it's going to be like Travis Kelce is going to get mobbed. And I think that kind of opens him up a little bit more. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, Tyreek Hill is great, but I still think Pat Mahomes is top two quarterback in the NFL. So
he's always there. It's like, I know everyone's so like bullish on Josh Allen and stuff right now, but like at the same time too, I feel like everyone's kind of like this offseason as a whole, I feel like no one's talking about Mahomes. I feel like
nobody, dude. I'm hearing way too much about the goddamn Dolphins and Tua, who's going to suck again. I'm hearing way too much about the Broncos, dude. Like Russell Wilson sucks. I don't know. Ever since I started betting on sports, the one guy that has sold more spreads for me than any other human being on the planet is Russell goddamn Wilson. And the fact that he's on the Broncos, I mean, it's over with, dude. I don't think I'll touch the Denver Broncos all year. Just because I know he's gonna suck. Like, I know he's going to suck.
Like, is it weird to think that taking, like, with his game week one, I'm so tempted to take Seattle on the spread just because, like, how last year when Brady went back to Tampa, Patriots nearly beat them and covered low scoring game. But at the same time, too, there's a part of me that's like, oh, he's going to go there and torch them. I'm just going to wait to see what the analysts say. Because, like, with the Patriots game, Patriots box last year, I remember everyone saying, oh, they're going to torch them. So that's the other thing, too. Don't listen to the outside noise or all the other gambling experts. Sure, you make your videos. I make videos, too. I just don't have the biggest following as you. But at the same time, too, I say that. If you want to tail me, great. If you don't want to tail me, that's totally up to you.
Of course. It's always an option. This is what I'm taking. Yeah. You know, do what you want to do. Yeah. I honestly, too, you know, I don't know why, but ever since that video of Drew Lock rapping on the sideline came out, I don't hate the kid. I feel like he got a lot of hate in a situation in Denver that probably wasn't great for him. I'm looking forward to him in Seattle. I am. I think this is his year, though. He either like has an okay year or he busts and now he's a backup for the next 3 years and then he's out of the NFL. But I think that's an interesting situation for him, you know?
I think it's the same thing as, how do I say? It's the same thing with Daniel Jones, too, in New York. I just think with Drew Lock, it was the situation was never right. And also, too, the one game that really got me in off him was 2020 when the Broncos played the Patriots and they only won 18-12 off 6 field goals because he couldn't get it done on third down. Otherwise, that game would have been a complete rout by the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel you. I mean, you know, he's got DK Metcalf. He's got Tyler Lockett. He's got some weapons, so it should be interesting to see what he does. But, you know, it's another team that's probably one season away from blowing everything up and rebuilding in Seattle. So he's kind of in a spot that definitely is not great. But, you know, it's also a spot where you don't have anything to lose. So you might as well go out there and try to ball out, you know?
I know we talked about this earlier, but look, when it comes to certain futures, we talk about Super Bowl futures on like certain teams we look at from a value standpoint. But there's one that I like. He's not exactly near the bottom of the favorites, but if I had to look at an MVP, I wanted you to get this take. But Justin Herbert, +900.
So I like Justin Herbert a lot. I think he's really great. I just don't know. He's got to get over the hump, I feel like. Last year, everyone was saying the same thing, that Herbert MVP was fantastic value, and he didn't get over the hump last year. He pretty much has everything you need to have a Super Bowl contending team in LA, I think, especially in his offense. But he's got to get over that hump. If he gets over the hump this year, I 100% agree. I think he's great value for any award. I think if he gets over the hump, the Chargers are a shout to win the Super Bowl, but he's got to get over that hump. And I don't think we have seen him yet really make that, you know, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson type progression that I think you need to make to win an MVP in the league. But I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Yeah. Like if you had to pick someone for MVP right now, like if you're looking at it realistically, like where do you stand? Like, are you going to look more Josh Allen or are you going to look at someone more down the chart when it comes to odds?
I kind of like looking more so down the chart. I'm trying to find it right now. I forgot to write down my MVP. I have everything else written down. I'm trying to find the MVP odds right now on FanDuel. Where is this ish? All right, we got season. Is it under season specials on FanDuel? Do you know?
It's under season awards. One other one while you're looking up that I'm going to say that I absolutely love is that +1600. I'm just going to say this quickly. +1600 for comeback player of the year, even though I think it should be most improved like the NBA does. And that's Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, he could be an absolute like danger zone in New Orleans. I mean, that could get out of hand quick. But I mean, looking at the MVPs, you know, I think I think especially if you're looking at guys like the Ravens to make a run, you know, I don't hate Lamar Jackson at +2000. Honestly, I also don't hate Joe Burrow at +1200, dude. I think now him and Jamar have a full season under the belt in the NFL. T. Higgins is looking like he's going to be an absolute animal again. I mean, this kid has it all right now in Cincinnati. If he just puts it together a little bit with the amount of press that he already gets, and half of the MVP award is how much you get posted on social media, I'm convinced. So, I mean, if he just puts it together, I think Joe Burrow +1200 is great value. You know, I think Kyler Murray, if he puts on enough of a show in Arizona, I think he could be a shout too. And then my guy that I should have had written down is Derek Carr at +2500. I love the Raiders this year. I really think they're going to make a lot of noise, and I think he's going to be a huge part of that.
If the Raiders simply make the playoffs and are a double-digit win and he has a stellar season, let's say at least 30-odd touchdowns, even if he can creep closer to 40 and over 5,000 yards throwing, I think it's a pretty much lock-in that he will be in that MVP conversation. 100%. So if you're looking at odds right now, look, I love that +2500 for Derek Carr, but at the same time, too, I just have a little bit of a hesitancy just because he hasn't been there, but I feel like now is that okay, are you elite Derek, or like, are you a top 10 guy, or are you always going to be that middle of the pack quarterback?
Yeah, no, 100%. I totally agree with you. I think this, honestly, it's going to be a fun year, because I think this is a make or break year for a lot of quarterbacks. A lot of guys that have made a lot of noise. I think you're probably getting, you're probably getting really close to a Lamar Jackson make or break year.
Yep.
I think he's got to start. I mean, MVP, that's great, but you got to start making some noise in the playoffs, bud. I think guys like Derek Carr, you're 100% right. It's time to start making some noise. Matt Stafford was close, but then he won the bowl. So, you know, that's tough. But, you know, even with I think the young guys too, I think Trey Lance, this is a not a make or break year, but he's got to make some noise. And, you know, Zach Wilson, as a Jets fan, it has been a media whirlwind around that kid. I saw, I think it was Colt McCoy come out today or yesterday and talk about how he doesn't understand why Zach Wilson is getting so much praise for pretty much doing nothing impressive or whatever it was. I mean, that's rich coming from him, but I think too, guys like Zach Wilson, like you need to start showing something. Justin Fields, you need to start showing something. Like, I think teams are very prone to moving on quickly from quarterbacks now, because you can find that Justin Herbert like almost immediately. And you can find that Lamar Jackson almost immediately. So I think like the lifespan of a quarterback now, once you're a rookie, I think is getting increasingly smaller. Like, if Justin Fields doesn't show anything, how long do you think he's a Chicago Bears quarterback?
My only thing with him is, though, I feel like the Bears are not putting him in a position to succeed. They still have Darnell Mooney. They still have David Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears suck. Yeah, that was a bad example.
The Bears, that's just the thing. The Bears are in a rebuild, so I feel like he has a little more leeway. But, and Zach, here's my thing. He has all the tools to succeed. It's like giving a 16-year-old kid a Ferrari and being like, okay, here are the keys to the car. You got to drive this thing without crashing it. I'm not trying to call the Jets a Ferrari, but I'm just giving the metaphor of like, look, you've got a tight end. You've got a pretty solid two-headed monster at running back. We'll see how Breece Hall does.
We've got an excellent offense. Like, our offense right now, I think, is very underrated, but your offense is only as good as a guy throwing the ball. And in that preseason game, I will say Zach looked atrocious. I mean, he was staring down wide receivers like it was his job. It's like, why don't we, you know, fake with the eyes a little bit here, Zach? You know, you don't have to let everyone in the arena know you're going to Garrett. But no, I think, I totally agree. I think, you know, he is a young kid, and the Jets with Joe Douglas, we're finally figuring it out. Like, we're having good drafts, but it would just be so classic if we drafted a quarterback that just ends up to be a complete bust because, you know, we gave him a great offense and he just wasn't the guy. But, you know, we'll see. I'm still optimistic.
The only big difference right now with Jets and Giants fans, I feel like, is that Giants fans are viewing Daniel Jones the way you guys viewed Sam Darnold in 2020, where you're like, okay, he's still got it. But in reality, it's just like not clicking in that maybe he's not the guy for the job. Like, with Daniel Jones, I still feel like, I know they want to do a little bet on yourself, not giving you a fifth-year option, but at the same time, it's like, dude, come on. You've got to prove something to us this year. You haven't proved anything throughout your three seasons that you can win, so we'll see what happens there. But when it comes to Zach, at the end of the day, it comes down to him. I think there's a solid chance, too, that if this team doesn't improve from last year or if they just don't do anything, who knows what direction we'll go in. But at the same time, too, if the Jets can go 6-11, 7-10, lose some close games, you know, like that.
Yep.
I think the Jets can be a spread darling this year. I think they'll be that team where, you know what, take them, hold your breath. But they might be a bit of a cash. I'm not saying full cash cow, but I'm saying hold your breath because you don't know which way it's going to go. I feel like with them, they could either be super into games or they can just be getting whooped every week.
As a Jets fan, when you say hold your breath, it's a hold your breath. I mean, literally every quarter. We could come out in the first quarter and be up 21-0 and lose 35-21. So, I mean, yeah, for sure, if you're betting on Jets spreads this year, hold your breath. I'm going to be doing it. I agree with you. If Breece Hall comes out and looks great, we're going to be a spread monster this year because then we're going to have an established running game. Michael Carter looked great last year. I think our wide receiving core is probably one of the best in the NFL. Might be a hot take, but in terms of our depth, I mean, we still have Corey Davis. I feel like a lot of people are forgetting how good he is. I'm looking forward to the year. It should be good.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Like, NFL is 22 days away, but it's like, oh, it can't come sooner. Oh, feels good.
100%.
Bills and Rams, September 8th.
It's going to be sick.
But like we said, look, if you are wanting to go out there, like my neck of the woods, CFL football is a thing right now for those people. So, but it's not the same. It's not the same,
but it's all right. Yeah. You know, it's football's football. Take some football here and there.
CFL football is good for overs, though. I'm going to say that right now.
Okay. Well, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about something.
Like the Big 12. And I want to switch gears because obviously, look, for as big as NFL betting is, college football betting is right there. There's one other bet I got lined up for week one. I just think Ohio State's going to wipe the floor with Notre Dame. I think that that's what I think. When it comes to college football betting, at the same time, too, I feel like everyone thinks you can't win money on money lines unless you're going like crazy 10 teamers, which do not do. It's the spreads is where you're going to make your money. That's where you're going to make the money with college football. That and overs, which I like. I said, like, I know you're
overs. Yeah, I was about to say, dude, overs in college football are electric.
Texas, Oklahoma will be the easiest over anyone cashes this year.
It's literally going to be free. I mean, they could put it at 100 and I'm still going to take the over in that game. I mean, you just can't not. But no, I mean, college football is going to be great this year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, like if you had to pick a favorite right now, obviously, I know I saw your video. You're hooked now.
I had to do it.
I've never really had a college football team or a college basketball team. I just like watching the sport. I like betting on the kids. Like you got me betting on Texas Southern for college basketball for a bit there.
Let's go. They were sick. Sick.
But with college football, though, my thing is, besides Texas, who's a team you're looking at where you're like, I like what they're doing. I think they got something to cook in there.
I mean, Ohio State, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, CJ Stroud is going to be unbelievable this year. I also think, you know, college football is going to be very wide open this year. You know, I picked Texas for a couple reasons, and I'll give you the clip because I haven't explained it to anybody yet why I took Texas as my college football team. I chose Texas as my college football team, one, because I love being the heel. I think it's so funny that their slogan is "We're back." Being a Providence college basketball fan last year was probably the greatest couple months of my life. Being able to be like, "Oh, we're lucky," and then we go out and cover spreads and beat teams as underdogs, and then we're the number one bet against team in the NCAA tournament, and then we absolutely wipe the floor with South Dakota State. Like, I love being the heel. I think that's awesome, and I think Texas is the biggest heel in college football. I mean, they have a fan base that doesn't care. Every year they're back. I love that slogan. Like, "We're back," I think it's hysterical. I love Quinn Ewers. I think that kid is hysterical. The mullet is sick. I think he's also a dog. And to be honest, I think Texas is going to make some noise in the Big 12 this year. I think it'll be fun betting on them. I'm definitely going to go to a game. I think that's going to be a great time. But, you know, I just love the energy that the Longhorns have. I love Matt McConaughey. You know, I'm a simple guy. You know, I'm not going to come out here and call myself a genius, but this is how I make decisions. You know, I love being the heel, love Matt McConaughey. I think "We're back" is a great slogan and all that jazz. But in terms of betting, I do think Texas is going to make some noise. I agree with you. I think Ohio State is going to beat the brakes off of Notre Dame. But I'm going to be honest, I'm going to avoid the Big Ten when betting football this year for college. I just hate watching the games. I think they're boring. Yeah, they run the ball too much. I think it's boring. You know, I love defense, but it's not like exciting defense. I think the SEC is going to be a lot of fun this year too, though. That's a conference I'm going to be looking at for sure. And then the Big 12, you know, it's great for overs. Oh, I love 100%. The Big 12. I mean, just feed me overs. It's a shootout every game in the Big 12. That's why I wanted to pick Texas too, because any Big 12 game you're watching, there's a gunslinger at the quarterback, which is, you know, it's always fun. And then you got Arch Manning coming in next year. It should be a great time.
Alabama, Texas, week two. That's going to be a free over right there.
And I'm taking Texas money line.
I'm not that brave. You do you. It's your team. I'm not that brave.
And I might be going down to Texas for that game. I'm talking to a couple of buddies right now about getting tickets to going down to that game, because I think that's going to be so much fun. I mean, anytime you get a chance to watch Nick Saban coach, I feel like you got to do it. And I haven't done it yet because I went to a school that didn't have college football. So, I mean, now that I have Texas, of course they're playing Alabama. Of course it's early in the season. Like, this could be an electric factory. So I might try to get down to that game. But, yeah, I'm for sure going to take Texas money line. If not the spread, probably both. Might pull a Providence basketball. Just take both for the bit.
So let's just get the facts straight, folks. Drinks cold, parlays winning, and is overs. That's how you describe Mikey right there. Those three things, right? You
put that on my headstone, yeah. That's free for my headstone.
Oh. But it's like, that's the thing. I would have probably had a drink tonight, but I figured it's a Wednesday at 6. A little early.
No, never too early, but you know, I get it. I got you. You know, if the games are on, it's all right to have a beverage.
Yes, exactly. Like that's the thing too. Even if you got bets going tonight, but I just look at baseball and I'm like, I've lost too much money on baseball to where I'm just like, I need it back. I know your buddy Gavin likes the Nerfies, and those can be electric too, but.
No, I mean, I want to blow my brains out with baseball. It is probably my least favorite thing to bet on. I'm hating every second of it. It makes no sense. I think the lines are probably the dumbest of any sport. the fact that the Orioles win like three straight and are still like plus 150 every game is just like absurd. And then they come out today and they're plus 135 and they lose by like seven. And it makes no sense. Baseball is the worst. I think it's comical how many people will DM me and like respond to my stuff being like, it was always the Marlins against the Padres. It's like, was it though? Because then the Padres come out today and they like nuke on them. So it's like, you know, baseball just makes no sense. I would just prefer to lose my money betting on football than lose it betting on baseball. That's my honest opinion.
Exactly. If I had to pick two sports that if I lose my money on, I'm not going to be pissed. Football's one, hockey is the other.
It's college basketball for me is the other one.
College basketball too. It's just with college basketball, I feel like when I start looking at those like really weird conference games, it's just when I'm like, I don't know. That's why like with baseball, like I see people online, like whether it be you or others posting about that. And like with college basketball, like I mainly tail people with college basketball because I don't know too much about it when it comes to like trends and everything like that. But
yeah,
the Big East was a pretty good conference to bet on. I will be honest with you when it comes to that.
I mean, Providence was free. You made free money if you bet on Providence.
I think I did a few times. I just can't remember too many of those bets off the top of my head.
We were a wagon.
Yeah.
We were what the people called the wagon in the streets.
Oh, yeah. Everyone has a wagon. So, like, the teams to bet on, I could just say, who's your wagon for this year? Like, my wagon right now probably, let's call it as it is. We'll do Lion spreads, maybe. And week one, you want to hop on the wagon already, folks. I've said it here right now. Arizona, Kansas City, over 53.5.
I love that.
That's probably going to be done by halftime. That and then
That over is like free, dude. They don't make it up.
It's free.
They don't make that up. The numbers like that when you got two quarterbacks like that going up against each other, I mean, you might as well take the over. Because my whole point with the Mikey over bit is that I'd rather bet on these guys to play well and root for a really fun game than be rooting against them to do well and betting on an under. Like when you've got Kyler Murray and Pat Mahomes going at each other, don't you want them to just be unleashing all game? Like, yeah, so give me the over, whatever.
It's like the playoff game last year with Buffalo and Kansas City. You don't want to sit there and watch a stinker. No, the only time I bet an under was Detroit-Chicago Thanksgiving, but that's like for obvious reasons. You know that game's going to suck, so it's like bet the under. But when you – that's right, though, because when you're betting the under, you're basically betting for a game to be shit. And sometimes I'll do it if, like, look, hey, it feels right, but at the same time, too, you want the electric factory. You want that sweat of – oh, like, come on, you just got to get, like, one more touchdown. Come on, you can do it. That's what you want. But before we wrap up here today, for anyone out there who may not know too much about you, where can they find you? Anyone on social media?
Yeah, so Mikey Over on all platforms except for Instagram. I'm michael.j.overs. It's more of an inside joke. I'm on Twitter. It's at MikeyOver1. And then on TikTok, it's just at MikeyOver. You know, we're taking it one game at a time, one over at a time, and I'll see you guys at the cash counter.
Sounds good. And if you want to have a compliment, the week one over with another one, may I suggest in the 425 slot as well. I don't know what the number is, but Green Bay and Minnesota. That one almost seems like...
The over?
Yeah. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm curious. I'm going to open up FanDuel, look it up.
I don't hate it. I don't love Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, I don't hate an over. That's my problem, though, is I'm just one of those guys. If you give me a bet, like, I'm going to take it. Like, I have friends that will text me, like, parlays. I always tail them because it's like I'm not going to not.
Exactly. It's 48.5, by the way. So 53.5, 48.5.
No, I don't hate that at all.
I don't hate it. So it's one of those things where, like, hey, if you sprinkle money on it and it loses, you can live with yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah, whatever. I'm okay with losing money if it felt right. You know, that's also something you got to be ready for in sports betting. You got to be okay with losing money, like, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're not going to hit 100%, I promise.
Exactly. Load up your – oh, also, one more question I want to ask you. What is your favorite sports book to use, just out of curiosity?
I love DraftKings because I think they're the bet-placed graphic is the prettiest to post. I just love that graphic. It's like green, white. It's good contrast. Love DraftKings. I think they got great odds, too, to be honest with you. I feel like their odds are always better than FanDuel's for some reason.
With gambling becoming more prevalent in Ontario, like, we, like, literally got FanDuel back in April. Like, all of them. Like FanDuel, BetMGM, Caesars, PointsBet. DraftKings was, like, one of the later ones to the party. But if I have to pick, basing off winning money lately, I go BetMGM at the moment just because that's where I've been the luckiest.
Oh, let's go. No, I love that.
But with FanDuel, though, I can never turn down a super boost. Like this Saturday's Kamaru Usman hit land a strike at minus 110. I'm like, yeah, sure. It's a $20 max bet. And people ask me all the time with that stuff. Like, why do they do that? And I'm like, they do that to sucker you in. It's like the casinos in Vegas.
Classic, dude.
Yeah, it's like when you go to a casino in Vegas and you see a slot machine in the lobby. Those ones are meant to pay out more because they'll make you walk into the casino.
And, like, by the way, you're not pulling the money out when that Kamaru Usman thing hits because now you've got a full account and you're going to go, oh, I can just double this with this parlay. You're not pulling the money out. And they know you're not going to pull the money out. So they're going to give you double your money and eat that loss because they know they're going to triple their profit in a month when everyone loses it all.
It's like the state of New York generates, like, I think, like $1 billion a month in sports gambling.
Dude, it's absurd. It's absurd. New Jersey, when it was first legalized, like the handle they brought in was, I think it was like $2 billion in the first like couple months. It's like absurd.
The goofy thing to me still is that Florida, California, and Texas are still not haven't passed it yet.
I mean, Florida's controlled by the reservations. Gambling in Florida is, I think, the reservations deal. Because I worked for a sports betting startup and I was on fundraising. I think that's why Florida doesn't do it. So they have to get something from the reservations to be able to do it. I believe. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's why with Florida. But yeah, I mean, those states, I mean, they need to figure it out. California is going to do it because they're an insane amount of debt. They're going to be like, well, we can make billions of dollars on sports betting. Sure, man.
We can prey on the weak and degenerative. Sure. We'll do it, no problem.
Yeah, they already do it with everything else in California. Might as well bring sports betting into the bunch.
Oh, 100%. But anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up here today. Is there anything else you want to add, or do you think we covered all the bases?
No, I appreciate you for having me. You know, hook 'em. Let's go Horns. Looking forward to college football. Go Jets. Should be a good year, hopefully. You know, but hopefully optimistic. Thanks for having me on. This was great, man. Appreciate you.
No problem anytime. But anyway, folks, this has been episode 174. I'll see you guys next week for more YWC Football Talk. Mikey Over, thank you once again. Guys, enjoy yourself, and let's go win some money.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.